Artek, inventors of Zero-G Gait and Balance System. Since 2008, Zero-G has been changing how physical medicine is delivered to patients by getting them involved in intensive therapy earlier and safer.
This is an APTA podcast.
Welcome to Finding My Way, an APTA podcast series exploring the twists and turns of physical therapy careers and the lessons that are learned along the way. I'm Jason Bellamy, APTA's Vice President of Strategic Communications, and for this series, I sat down with 10 physical therapists at National Student Conclave and asked them similar questions to learn what they thought they'd be doing when they were in PT school and what they ended up doing instead. This series is designed for DPT and PTA students, but each episode includes great tips for anyone trying to find their way in their career. In this episode, I talked to Josh D'Angelo, who knows both what it's like to feel lost on his career journey and what it's like to move with purpose toward what you believe in. Jason Bellamy at National Student Conclave with Josh D'Angelo. The first question is the easiest. In 30 seconds or less, tell me what you do now.
Hey, Jason, thanks so much for having me here. It's been a lot of fun to be here and experience the energy of National Student Conclave. Very quickly, what I do, I've been fortunate to be able to create a dynamic existence for myself. Each day is a little bit different. I work in an outpatient orthopedic center in Arlington, Virginia for about 24 hours a week. Part of the time that I'm not in clinic, I'm also working on Move Together, the 501c3 nonprofit for impact organization that I co-founded with Ifosa Gwabadia. And lastly, I also do a little bit of home care in people's homes and gyms where I go on a cash pay basis and provide services there as well. So it's a fun existence I've been able to create.
So yeah, you really created this existence. And so from that standpoint, I can't imagine that you went to a class in PT school that said, here's how you do what you do now. So what PT school did you go to and what did you think you would be doing?
So I went to George Washington University's DPT program, and I have to give them a shout out because they were extremely supportive in all the endeavors that we wanted to do. And they really encouraged us to get out there and try new things. And so I kind of followed that pathway after PT school as well. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And when I asked myself what I wanted to do, I couldn't figure it out. And so what I did was just start trying different routes. You know, I got a little bit involved with the DC chapter. I served as a delegate 1 year for the DC chapter as well. I went on a service trip with IFOSA. I tried some clinical leadership routes and different continuing education courses and just tried to find what fit. You know, and on top of that, I had some patient experiences that helped me to reflect and learn and figure out what I want to do at my truest self, in my truest core.
So that period of discovery and experimentation and journey, was that a nerve-wracking experience for you? Was that an exciting experience for you? When you were going through, did you feel lost or did you feel like you were in control?
Candidly, I would say I felt a little bit lost. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I didn't know what was around the corner. But at the same time, Jason, it was exciting, right? Because whenever one door slides shut, there's another one that opens up. And as long as we keep our eyes open for those opportunities, then we're going to find something eventually that we fall in love with. You know, Keaton Ray did an awesome Ignite talk at the beginning of NSC this year, where she said, if you don't want to do something, it should either be a hell no or hell yes. But sometimes you find those hell maybe why not opportunities, and you go out and try those, and those eventually become your hell yes. So yeah, it was a little bit scary. It was a little bit frustrating at times, but I'm so glad that I went through it because now I had a lot of time to do self-discovery along the way.
So, you know, did you have a light bulb moment? Did you have a hell yes moment that led to where you are now? What was that like?
Yeah, so I'll share two quick examples. Number one example is I was fortunate enough to run for the Student Assembly Board of Directors at National Student Conclave all the way back in 2012. So I'm aging myself a little bit here, but 5 years ago. And I was fortunate enough to get elected to that board and serve as president with some awesome, motivated, talented, and passionate individuals. And working with them really changed the trajectory of my career, the connections that we made, the initiatives that we did, and the fun that we had. So coming out of school, I knew I wanted to work with motivated and talented people like that. And then there's also some patient examples. So a little bit later today, I'm going to do a presentation and I'm going to talk about one particular patient that really resonated with me. So his story is, even before he came in, my clinical instructor said, I think you're going to connect with this guy, right? And she went on to describe why. And she said, he's got these big dreadlocks and this tattoo of Bob Marley on his neck and this smile that'll light up the room. But he had a pretty dramatic accident, Jason. He was actually in a motorcycle accident where he was going at a pretty high speed and a car cut him off. And he landed off his motorcycle on a rock. And they transported him to the hospital and unfortunately had to amputate his left leg right away. But during the surgery, his blood pressure skyrocketed, and he ended up having a massive stroke that affected the right side of his body. And as he was recovering from the cuts and burns and scrapes and bruises of the accident, one of the wounds on his left arm got infected. And unfortunately, the doctors were forced with a difficult decision to amputate his left arm. So the first day that my CI met him, he was actually sitting in the outpatient neurologic center in a regular waiting room chair. And so she asked him the obvious question. She said, "How'd you get in here?" And he said, "My brother carried me in." So she said, "Do you have a wheelchair?" And he said, "No, I would like one, but I don't have health insurance." And so we ended up seeing this gentleman who had a left transhumeral amputation, left transfemoral amputation, and right upper and lower extremity hemiplegia with no wheelchair and no health insurance. You know, so to answer a little bit of your question you were asking earlier, when I was in PT school, even before PT school, I thought whoever came through my doors, I was going to heal them. I was going to cure them. You know, I don't care if they had a left leg amputation or hemiplegia, I was going to give them 100% and make them 100% better. And I also thought I was going to open my own clinic, you know, maybe grow to a few practice locations if we were successful. But patients like this gentleman, his name was Will, patients like Will really changed that for me. And I think one of the salient points that I talk about a little bit later on that I'll mention now is essentially that Will actually ended up being very, very lucky. He had an extremely supportive family. He had a super compassionate PT who was able to hook him up with social work, get him a wheelchair, get him an electric wheelchair, and really maximize his independence. And he landed in a healthcare infrastructure that really supported his needs. And, you know, what led my CI to success with him was just maximizing his independence based on the environment where we were in. But the reality is that in communities at home and in many communities abroad, a lot of people don't have access to the same level of services, you know, but I believe they should. I believe that healthcare should be a human right, that everybody should have access to those level of services that Will did in his story. And so that was one of the sparks for me that led to the co-founding of Move Together, this fundamental belief that everyone should have access to services, and what led to our vision of Move Together of having a clinic in every community and community in every clinic.
So somebody who hears that story, and it's an awesome story, and thinks, I want to be Josh. I want to do what Josh did. I want to feel like I'm making a difference. I want to feel passionate about what I do. If we define that as success, where you are right now, for all that you still want to do in your career, what's the secret of your success? What has allowed you to get those things done?
So I'd say that's step one, right? Figure out what you believe in and fight for the world that you believe in and pursue it relentlessly. That's really number one. And I think that goes to a lot of what Ifos and I talked about early on in the founding of Move Together, is just that fundamental question of what do you want to do? And then once you figure out what you want to do, don't let anything stop you. We talked with Steve Anderson a few days ago, who's the old CEO of Therapeutic Associates, and we talked about the willingness to go out there and take a risk, and even envisioning in the future, okay, if we have the worst failure possible, if this thing goes as poorly as it possibly could, what's going to happen? You know, and for us founding a nonprofit, that was maybe we try it for a year, we can't get any funding, we spend a lot of time developing it, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't take. And then we ask the question, are you okay with that failure? Would that be okay in the worst of worlds? And we say, yeah, that actually wouldn't be that bad. So yes, we're willing to go out and try this, because all of a sudden, the risks that we thought we were going to take, or what failure may have caused, or how it may have impacted us, suddenly doesn't look so scary anymore.
So last question then, for somebody who's a student now, whether they have dreams of doing something dynamic like Move Together, or they just, and I put that word in quotations, just want to be a darn good PT in one realm, focusing on one population, which is totally awesome too, what should they be doing today to prepare for tomorrow? You know, beyond the school books, beyond getting through class, what should they be doing today to ensure they have success tomorrow?
That's a great question. And I think it starts with those who we surround ourselves with. So one of the best things about Move Together and my pathway in developing Move Together has been every time I look to the left of me and every time I look to the right of me, I see people that are smarter than me, just as driven as me, so motivated and so talented. So I think a lot of it comes down to who you surround yourself with. And there's a quote that Ifos and I were talking about a while back that says, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And so just surrounding yourself with the best, most talented, brightest people can certainly help you lead along that pathway. And having honest conversations with both yourself and with them about what you want to do in the future. And then as you develop a better idea, seeking out mentorship from those around. You know, we used to say in PT school, if someone's on stage speaking about something that you believe in or something that you want to do, go up and introduce yourself. You know, make those connections, because that's going to be the seeds that are planted that are going to flower later on in the future.
Josh Shangelo, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Finding My Way. New episodes of this 10-part series will be released each week into 2018. You can find other episodes of this series on iTunes by searching APTA Podcasts or by visiting www.apta.org/findingmyway. Students, we have more resources just for you at the Pulse blog at www.apta.org/pulse. You can also follow APTA's student assembly accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at APTASA. If you're enjoying this series, please rate us on iTunes, give us a share on social media, or email us at web@APTA.org with feedback and ideas. I'm Jason Bellamy. Thanks for listening.
This is an APTA podcast.